And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is things that end, some of them badly. Each of my guests is discussing endings and what we make of them. My first guest is a journalist and author of 8 books. She focused on the story of her own life in her latest book, My Lie, A True Story of False Memory. We discussed false memory syndrome and incest. My second guest is an author and educator, and he made it part of his life's work to gain recognition for the forgotten African-American historical figures. He regaled us with some very interesting stories about African-Americans who have been lost to history. My next guest believes that all things end. Some of them must end sooner than others, however. We're going to discuss the employees, the businesses, the relationships that we have to give up in order to move forward from his latest book titled Necessary Endings. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Dr. Henry Cloud is a clinical psychologist and a leadership consultant. He has written or co-authored over 20 books, including 2 million sellers. His books in total have sold over 5 million copies. Dr. Cloud is the co-host of a nationally syndicated radio program, New Life Live, heard in over 190 markets. He's been a frequent guest on radio and TV. He's also been interviewed in the newspapers as well. He's a graduate of Southern Methodist University, go Ponies, and he earned his BS in psychology with honors. He completed his PhD in clinical psychology at Biola University and his clinical internship at Los Angeles County Department of Medical Health. He got his doctorate dissertation in leadership personality as well. He lives in Los Angeles with his wife and 2 daughters. Welcome to the show, Henry. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on board, especially somebody who has written such an interesting book as Necessary Endings. And I have to tell you, you're on the show partly because this is going to be a cathartic interview for me. But let's talk about change, because change is hard. And so often we live our lives by the old adage, better the devil you know rather than to make a change, even if we know we need to make one. So why is change so hard in our lives? And doesn't change just by itself sort of imply an ending?
Well, it does, and you know, if we could get our arms around the fact that everything has a life cycle to it, you know, everything has a season, and especially in the business world, when leaders understand that just because something is going well today does not mean that, you know, everybody's going to be riding on trains forever. You know, maybe somebody will invent an airplane, and then we're going to have to change. And when we understand seasons and life cycles, then it starts to normalize it a little bit. But the difficulty in this is that we as humans have a hard time stepping up and executing an ending to things because it involves people and hurt feelings and all sorts of stuff that's hard for us.
Absolutely, it does. Now, in the collective conscious here in the United States, many people, myself included, endings imply failure. And, yeah. And we've made that connection. How have we made that connection? Why is that just flat out wrong?
Well, I think that in part, you know, when somebody works really hard to develop something, I mean, if you take a product line or a business or, you know, trying to make a relationship work, and you've got so much invested in it that to get to a point to where, you know, its time has passed, there's kind of that feeling of there's so much of me in this. Why can't I make it work? And you know, if I persevere, and we've got such a high value, you know, of perseverance itself, that when something's over, we tend to personalize that and think that we failed. And oftentimes, that is not even close to the case. And we need to understand the concept of that things have seasons.
All right. Now, do you think that feeling of failure that we get in personalizing it, as you said, is that just because we're part of the me generation, the baby boomers, or do you think that has been throughout time immortal?
I think it's part of the human nature that you know, when we get invested in something, it's just basically hard to let go. I mean, take something as simple as raising a kid, or as natural.
Not exactly simple.
You know, not exactly simple. It's simple to understand, though, that we get invested in our children, okay, and then we're supposed to understand that there is a necessary ending to the parenting role, and when they get to be 18 or 20 or 22, they're supposed to become an adult. I think in California it's like 47, but at some point, you know, we're supposed to end the role of being the guardian of their lives and the managers of their lives and the resourcing function. But how hard is it to let go of that? And you've got the failure to launch syndromes and all of that stuff. Then on the relationship side, you see sometimes, somebody can be in a very abusive relationship, for example, very hard to end because of the emotional investment. Or on the business side, I mean, we just take the car industry, for example. It took a bankruptcy judge to shut down several of those brands that Detroit had that hadn't made money for decades. And that should have been an executive decision made a long time ago. But with all the emotional investment in all those brands, people couldn't pull the trigger.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, everybody. His latest book, Necessary Endings. Henry, I'm glad that you brought up the General Motors. You brought up the forced bankruptcies, because that was one of the questions I was going to ask you later on. Using General Motors as an example, specifically the Saturn division. Now, GM started out Saturn as this is a car company for the new ages. It was something different and so forth. But they failed to make all the necessary investments in new models, new technology, marketing.
Right.
And in the end, GM had to get rid of itself, court-ordered, got rid of itself of Saturn, divested itself there. So talk to us about necessary endings. I mean, give us some examples of companies that have successfully conducted necessary endings, whereas GM didn't.
Well, if you think of the example of just overlay the technology example of the whole thing.
Okay.
You've got the internet that comes out, right, in the 90s, and it becomes ubiquitous, and et cetera, et cetera. It's going into all of these arenas and beginning to do, you know, all sorts of things. And you get one guy that sees that this technology movement, you know, this sea change out there, really is going to mean an end to people going into a brick-and-mortar record store and buying, you know, a CD. We can break these things up into one song at a time and download them. And Steve Jobs changed an entire industry by realizing that a season had passed of the way things always had been done, and successfully launched a new paradigm by stepping up and putting a necessary ending to the old ways that things were done. And the great innovators, what they always do is they realize that just because something has had a life doesn't mean that's going to last forever. And that's what good leadership does. On the other hand, I'll give you an example from the book that it didn't go well. You know, if you look at Motorola back in, when would it have been, the 90s?
The 90s.
They had the StarTech phone, and they had like 90% of the market in cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
AT&T, who was their biggest customer, I think, comes to them and says, we're going to go digital. We need you to make a digital phone. Motorola says, you know, we're not going digital. The voice quality isn't good. We have 90% of the market. Everybody is going to stay wherever we are, you know. They love our phone. We're doing well. And so AT&T went and talked to a little unknown company called Nokia, who said, we'll make a phone for you. And then, you know, look what happened. So there's a really, really important leadership task and personal task of realizing, when does something have hope and when does it does when does it not? And that's the big diagnostic. And one of the things I talk about in the book is there's no reason to do an unnecessary ending. A lot of times somebody is stuck in something and they think, well, I got to shut this thing down, or I got to break this relationship off. Really what needs to end is the pattern that they've tried of dealing with it, and a different strategy can actually work if the right elements are in place. Other times it's just not going to work.
All right, so that's the crux of it. Something has to have hope in order to do that. So how do you assess hope, Henry? That's the big thing.
That is the big thing, Bill. It's you know, there. One of the things I talk to leaders all the time about is whether they're talking about an employee that's not performing or a strategy that's not working. And they say things like, well, you know, I hope this turns around, or we're really hoping that next year is going to be different. Then the next question is why? Why do you have hope in this deal? Or why do you have hope in this person? And the more you pull that out of them, what you'll hear is that they have desire, like they want this to happen. But that's not hope. That's just a wish. And there's a difference in hope and a wish. A wish is, you know, that comes from us. We want it to be different. But what hope has is an objective reason for us to begin to, and here's the big phrase I use in the book, hope spends time. You know, if you've got hope in something, then you are going to spend more time, more energy, more resources continuing down this path, and you better have a good reason for that. So here's kind of the big picture of it. If something is going to have hope that has not worked up until now, then you've got to ask yourself, what is going to be different tomorrow that makes this thing that hasn't worked hopeful? And what you're going to find is two broad categories. One is you must find a new energy source for a person or a strategy or a company or something to change that's stuck. You've got to have, somebody's got to come in there and they've got to begin to turn the heat up and they got to bring new motivation. They've got to turn people around. They got to have vision. There's got to be energy to, you know, turn this inertia thing in a different direction. The second thing is there's got to be some sort of a template or a structure. You know, energy without intelligence kind of driving it towards a particular path that's different than the one you've been trying is just going to be wasted heat. And so what I always have leaders do is say, okay, what's going to move this thing and what's the different path, which includes new wisdom and skills and know-how and a bunch of other stuff. If you see that, then we might have hope. It's sort of like an addict, you know. Why do you have any hope? Well, if we bring energy, if we bring a bunch of rehab people around them in groups and support and all that, and we bring the template of the know-how of somebody that knows how to deal with addictions, yeah, we can have hope for this person, but not just because they're telling us they're going to get better.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, everybody. His latest book, Necessary Endings, The Employees, Businesses, and Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in Order to Move Forward. And Henry, I have to ask you, though, there are people out there, myself included, who do not learn from their mistakes and are destined to repeat them. So how does that fall into necessary endings, and how do you make that necessary ending so that you can move forward?
Well, that's the big question, right? I mean, if we could just get that one. I think the first thing that we have to do is, in order to learn from anything, then we have got to get out of the anything, out of the experience, and we've got to get above it, and we've got to begin to observe it. You know, one of the hallmarks of psychological development is when somebody hits their kind of mid-teens and on up until, you know, early 20s, aspects of the brain begin to develop that have the ability for what we call hypothetical thinking, which is thinking about our thinking. And we develop more of an observing capacity to look at ourselves. And what I find the best way that people can begin to make sure they're learning is they need the observing capacity of themselves outside of themselves. So that's where we go. If you really want to learn from what you're doing, then you get a coach or you get a mentor or you get somebody really good who you tell, you know, all your different decisions and what was, you know, what kind of pressure did you feel here and why'd you give in to this and why'd you think that way? And somebody that begins to help us observe our patterns, and that's the big word. Once you understand that what you just did was not specific to that circumstance, it wasn't like a problem, it is a pattern. It's something you've done before. It's something you'll do again if you don't change a pattern. And patterns are really the things that are hardwired into us that's when we begin to learn, we change patterns.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, author of the book Necessary Endings. Henry, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
I would want them to take away the hope that comes from realizing that the pruning function is something that everything that's alive and thriving does. You know, you prune a rose bush for three reasons. It produces more buds than it can sustain. There's some branches that are sick and not getting well, and some of them are dead and just taking up space. In our lives and businesses, we produce more product lines, strategies, activities, relationships, all of that, than we can really give the best of our time and energy to. So you got to pick the best and prune the good. Secondly, there's some things that are sick and they are not going to get well. They're resistant. They're in denial. It's a bad idea. Its time has come, and you got to have the courage to to clip it off. And then thirdly, there's dead stuff that's been dead a long time. It's just taking up space. It's got to go. And if you can do that, there will be hope for the things that really have life, and there's where your future is.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, author of the book Necessary Endings, The Employees, Businesses, Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in Order to Move Forward. Henry, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, want to learn more about your book, please tell us where they could go on the Internet.
Well, they can go to, I've got a Facebook page at Dr. Henry Cloud, and I do all sorts of little fun videos and things on there. But to read about more of the work that I do, go to drcloud.com.
Thanks, Dr. Cloud. We'll talk to you soon. And that
All
brings
right.